Welcome back to Scottsdale. Sunbury Motors Studio is mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Derek Williams, who joined us in the opening half hour. Coming up in this half hour, Damon Heward, the color analyst for the Washington Radio Network. Next half hour, Bob Rondo, the legendary play-by-play voice of Washington football, calling his final game of his 37-year career tomorrow at University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale. And in the final half hour, Jack Hamm will join us here in Scottsdale. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. And with the big holiday weekend coming up, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, bowl games, the NFL, you name it, there's going to be so much. And maybe not everybody in the room wants beer. Maybe they want wine coolers. Brewers Outlet has that. Water. They have soft drinks. They also have plenty of snacks. And not only that, they roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar is indeed, yes, I don't care what year it happens to be, 2017 or in the 2018, the pickle bar is second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Go out and stock up this evening. Make sure you're ready for the Cotton Bowl tonight with Ohio State USC. Make sure you're ready for the Fiesta Bowl tomorrow, Penn State in Washington. Orange Bowl tomorrow night, Miami and Wisconsin. NFL games on Sunday. And, of course, the two playoff games coming up on Monday, the Rose Bowl, Oklahoma, Georgia, and the Sugar Bowl, the nightcap, Alabama, and Clemson. So, yeah, a lot to go to Brewers Outlet for. Make sure you're fully stocked. Do it. This day in sports history, and then Damon Heward, the color analyst for the Washington Radio Network, will join us. 1941, Ray McLean of the Chicago Bears performed a dropkick for an extra point in the NFL. The next one would not happen for 61 years when Doug Flutie did it for the New England Patriots. 1951, Joe DiMaggio announced his retirement from Major League Baseball. In 1959, Tom Landry accepted the position of head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. At one point, Landry led the team to 22 consecutive winning seasons in his 29-year coaching career. Remember, though, Landry's first year, 1960, the Cowboys were 0-11-1. 1969, Vince Lombardi coached his final game. His Redskins lost to the Cowboys 20-10. The Redskins ended that season 7-5-2, which was the first winning season for the Redskins in 14 years. But listen to this, the 7-5-2. That was Vince Lombardi's only year with the Redskins. His first season as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers in 1959. They were 7-5. 1975, John Riggins became the first New York Jets player to gain 1,000 yards in a season. Also in 1975, the great George Blanda from Youngwood here in Pennsylvania, right near Greensburg. His final regular season game, he became the first professional player to reach 2,000 points. He ended up with 2,002 in his 26-year career. 1975 as well, the Buffalo Sabres scored 8 goals in the third period against the Washington Capitals. Sabres won the game 14-2. 1980, Harold Carmichael ended his streak of 127 consecutive games with a reception. 1981, Cincinnati beat Bradley 75-73 in 7 overtimes. That was the longest college basketball game in history. And in 1983, the NBA's Indiana Pacers ended a 28-game losing streak. Awful. We welcome everyone to Scottsdale, where tomorrow Penn State will take on Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. Kickoff set for 4 o'clock Eastern time. We're on the air with the Dietz and Watson tailgate show tomorrow beginning at 2:30. On the Washington side of things, Damon Heward is the color analyst for the Huskies Radio Network. And Damon, welcome. It is great to have you with us here today.
No, thanks for having me on, Steve.
I want to start with Bob Rondo. You've been with him now since 2010. This will be his last game. He's going out on his own terms. But, I mean, this is my 14th year with Dick Girardi. You know what it's like working with somebody every time out. For you, have you gone through some of the emotions yet, or is it something that when the day arrives, knowing it is Bob's last game, that it's going to hit you?
Yeah, you know, the Apple Cup here, which is our big rivalry against Washington State, was the last time he was ever going to call a game in Husky Stadium, so that was actually pretty emotional. And we had an awesome tribute to him and all of his accomplishments, but yeah, it was pretty tough, you know. He's the voice of Husky football, has been for 37 years, so, you know, when his voice comes over the airwaves in the fall in the Northwest, all is right, and it is going to be a little bit different next season for sure. And obviously this is going to be even more emotional, I think, calling this Fiesta Bowl with him, because this is the last hurrah. And he's a great man, a great Husky, a great talent, and he will be missed.
Yeah, I know Jack and I are anxious to meet you two guys before the game, so we're looking forward to that very much. I want to ask you about, let's start with the position you would know better than anybody. Where has Jake Browning grown, and is there any area where you think Jake Browning has plateaued?
Yeah, you know, it's a big question around here. A lot of people talking about it. You know, why are Jake's numbers down from last year? You know, he's the Pac-12 Player of the Year, and you know, as we all know, this is the ultimate team sport. And when I kind of dig into Jake a little bit and watching, you know, over the course of this season, you know, certainly the numbers aren't there. You know, from 43 touchdowns a year ago to 18 this year. But what's really still there is the efficiency and the fact that, you know, we're winning football games. And, you know, we lost when we lost John Ross to the first round. And then, you know, some huge injuries. Chico McClatcher, our number two receiver, went down week two in the season. And then Hunter Bryant, who was our number two receiver, about week six went down. So he was without a couple of his biggest weapons on the outside. And, you know, we've leaned heavily on our experienced offensive line and 1-2 punch at running back with Miles Gaskin and LaVon Coleman. And so Jake's numbers haven't been as gaudy as they were a year ago. And so some people have kind of questioned, you know, his play. But I never have. I think he's been real consistent, super efficient, completing almost 70% of his passes. We are asking him to do a lot more as far as the check with knees and whatnot that he does at the line of scrimmage. So all in all, I think it's been another really good year for Jake, despite his numbers.
The Penn State fans know there's a running back in this game that has three consecutive 1,000-yard seasons, is also an excellent receiver out of the backfield. Oh, wait a minute. I also just described Miles Gaskin. Tell us a little bit about what makes this – I mean, this is the best running back matchup of any bowl game out there. What makes Miles Gaskin a special player to you, Damon?
Yeah, you know, he's not the biggest of guys. He's about 5'10", 190 pounds, maybe soaking wet, but – goodness gracious, he has a patience, a vision, and he's got this incredible lateral quickness, and then all of a sudden you look up, he's made someone downhill 6, 7, 8 yards. I mean, he's just you know, a football player. And, you know, as you mentioned, he can catch a ball out of the backfield too and takes a lot of pride in pass protection. But just a real talented guy. He's been so durable over the course of his career, you know. You know, he's 3,000-yard seasons in a row, just like your guy. So he's a talent. We call him Engine Number 9 around here. And his engine never stops.
I like that. Yeah. That may be stolen on the Penn State network by somebody. Dante Pettis, we know what a great punt returner he is. I'll get to that part in a moment. He's been the leading receiver. What kind now? John Ross tough to really replace as a number one. Where has he been able to replace John Ross as a number one? And is there a couple of areas where it's not quite the same?
Well, you know, when those guys, two guys, were together on the field at the same time, it's obviously a huge benefit. You know, who's the defense going to worry about? So I think Dante this year, you know, he's seen some double coverage, safety over the top, that sort of thing. You know, he's the guy that circled on the perimeter for us as that wide receiver, especially, as I mentioned, with all those injuries we had. So, you know, but despite that, he still had 62 catches and 7 touchdowns and was all conference and all that good stuff. So, you know, we definitely find ways to get him the football. But, you know, you mentioned that return game. That's, you know, he's the best ever in college football returning punts with 9 career punt returns for touchdowns. So, just an incredible talent. I've never seen anybody make that first guy miss in a phone booth like he does. I mean, he can be catching a football, a guy within a yard, and right in his face. And not only does he get hit and fumble, he makes a miss. Yeah. And then he's just got this glide and stride. And And he's just a beautiful athlete with a great knack for returns, obviously, and a solid receiver, too. A guy who's definitely going to play on Sunday.
I mean, obviously, you know what it's like. You played in the NFL, so you saw a lot of guys with a lot of speed, but no feel for this. What is it about Pettis and his feel for returning punts to go with his natural gifts?
Yeah, I mean, right? I mean, you know, he's been doing it a while. I always think, you know, with experience and repetition that, you know, you can really, you know, develop your craft. But, you know, this year it's just, it amazes me that teams even kick to him because, like I said, he makes that first guy miss and then, you know, he gets in the open field. And really it's an era, which is interesting, where, you know, I don't know if in the Big Ten it's as prevalent as, you know, these rugby-style punters where, you know, they kind of roll out and they buy time for your cover team
right.
to get downfield. And,
yep.
and you really shouldn't be able to return it the way that he has and the success that he's had. So I think it's even more of a credit to him and his natural ability, you know, doing it in this era of college football with these rugby-style punters that he's able to make guys miss and score touchdowns doing it. It's special.
Yeah, in fact, most of the time you'll see somebody with a rugby punt and it'll land 10, 15 yards in front of the returner and they're just going to let it go by and they'll end up getting
exactly.
a roll. And he picks it up and he runs with it. I mean he'll, you're like, oh, yeah. Great. He is something else.
He is. And I'll say this, you know, Coach Peterson, you might not know this, but he coaches the return game. That is his position. Those are his guys. That is his baby. And, you know, in the Pac-12, we talk a lot about three teams that really there's this just huge emphasis on special teams. And that would be us, Utah, and Stanford, where it's just, you know, when you play those teams, you know, you better bring your A game in special teams because those schools take a lot of pride in it. And we really do here, you know, under Coach Pete, take a lot of pride in the special teams, and we've been very good at it.
You had a guy up with the Seahawks for a period of time that played here at Penn State named Jordan Hill. And over the last 10 years, I know Jack Ham commented that when he would watch Jordan Hill, he would play defensive tackle, but he used his hands like a linebacker. When we watch Vita Vea on tape, we see 340 pounds of rumbling fun in the middle there, and he knows how to use his hands. You see him all the time. What makes him special?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Vita is just such a load. I mean, he is so explosive and fast in his get-off at his size. And I'm not sure I've seen it before, to be honest with you. I mean, you're going to see a kid, you know, 340 pounds, and he'll run sideline to sideline. I mean, he'll chase down a running back and on a screen and make a tackle in the open field, and you marvel at his athleticism, you know, at 6'5", 340 pounds. You know, Steve Entman's maybe the last guy that
right.
could dominate the interior part of the defensive offensive line since we've had around here. So he's just a great kid, works hard, good motor. He, too, does have great hands. But he's just so strong and so explosive. And at that size, it's just, I mean, he's been a load for us. I mean, you look at his numbers and you say, oh, he's only got 3.5 sacks, or, you know, whatnot. But he's so disruptive and just been a huge part of our defensive success this year.
You had a fabulous secondary last year. Really good. And a lot of those guys end up getting drafted. It was really good. So less experience back there. But yet, Washington doesn't give up a lot of passing yards, about 185 yards a game somewhere in that neighborhood. Has it been the front seven that's allowed them to be productive, or have they made strides in their own to be productive?
Yeah, you know, the other cool thing about a Chris Peterson program is, you know, it'll be the third series of a game, and all of a sudden we'll, you know, plug in, you know, backup players and, you know, in meaningful moments in a game. And, you know, he's done that to give guys opportunity and experience so when there's injuries or players move on or declare early that, you know, they're ready to roll. And, and we've done a great job with so many of those guys, like a guy like Miles Bryant that played as a true freshman a year ago. Jordan Miller, who got hurt, will not play in this game,
right.
Is a guy that, you know, would play quite a bit last year despite being a backup. And so, you know, these kids are talented. I'll also say Jimmy Lake, our defensive back coach, co-D coordinator, is, I think, one of the best recruiters on the West Coast. You know, he looks for a certain long length player that kind of fits his mold and teaches them the fundamentals. And so, you know, we've had some guys this year, even though they're not only as Byron Murphy and Austin Joyner, they have played really good on the outside of corner, Miles Bryant in the slot. And then really the two safeties, they played a lot of football last year for us, Taylor Rapp and JoJo McIntosh. So they were experienced guys coming into this season that had both taken their game to another level.
Yeah, and you'll see the same thing with Penn State. They'll do the same thing, rotate a lot of young guys, second, third series of the game. All of a sudden they're rotating in, same as Chris Peterson does.
When
you look, Damon, at Penn State and the chance you've had to look at them, what strikes you right away about them?
Yeah, you know, I think offensively, obviously, Saquon Barkley is a real talent. You know, looking at your quarterback, McSorley, he's a kid that, you know, not afraid to run it. Those QB runs can just be a dagger in college football. The massive, massive offensive line you guys have. I mean, these are just road graders. So we know, you know, this will probably be the best offense, you know, we've seen all year. That will be a great challenge. So a lot of talented guys. Obviously starts with the QB and running back and just a monster offensive line. And then, you know, I think defensively, you know, you guys only give up, you know, 15 points a game and have done a great job getting out of the gate and holding opponents early in games to minimal points. And so it's an experienced group, you know, a lot of seniors you see there on that defense, especially that D-line and linebackers. So, yeah, it'll be a tough matchup for us. There's no question.
You're going to bring back somebody as the offensive coordinator, but won't be in this game. So how's Chris going to handle that? Committee, or is he going to be the primary play caller? Do you know yet?
Yeah, I honestly don't know how they're going to do that. I know our coaches have been on the road recruiting their tail off here. We kind of get back at it this weekend, hardcore with practice and preparation for Penn State. So couldn't tell you exactly who's going to be doing that. But, yeah, that'll be a challenge for sure with Jonathan Smith moving on to Oregon State. You know, I've got a lot of confidence in Coach Pete and his staff that they'll get that dialed in for the big game.
Oh, no, I mean, no question about that. You've now had a real chance to be around him. We all saw what he did at Boise, and he was very particular about what he wanted to do with the next step in his career. And I found it very interesting. He chose Washington. And he had other places you and I both know he could have gone, but he chose Washington. Mm-hmm. What makes it work for him in Seattle?
Well, I think a big reason he chose it is he came up here in 2013. It was the grand opening of our new remodeled Husky Stadium. And we beat the Broncos that day. I don't think like he's ever been beat. And so, you know, right then and there, he's like, oh, wow, this you know, and he'll talk about it all the time that when he grew up, you know, as a young guy in California in the 80s and certainly Husky football and Don James was a dominating presence on the West Coast. So he knew all about the history and tradition of this place. And then I think, you know, the big factor was just the location and also what the University of Washington academically has to offer for kids. I mean, it was just a natural fit. So big-time program, West Coast. A lot of connections out here. He's recruited the West Coast over the course of his career and knew the talent and that could be recruited here and the history of winning. So he's come here and he's put Husky football back on the map, two back-to-back 10-win seasons for the first time since 90 and 91. And it's obviously just been a great fit for him.
Damon, an absolute pleasure. We thank you so much for your time today. I'm really looking forward to seeing Bob and you at the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting you guys, too, down there in the desert and getting some sunshine. It'll be awesome.
It sounds great. Thanks, Damon.
Okay. You got it.
Damon Heward, color analyst for the Washington Radio Network. Great to have him on the show today. Coming up in the next half hour, the guy that he referenced at the beginning of that, Bob Rondo. 37 seasons, Bob Rondo has been the play-by-play voice of Washington football and basketball. Tomorrow will be his final broadcast on the network. He's retiring on his own terms. And Bob will join us in the next half hour to talk about the current Washington football team and about his legendary career. That'll be in the next half hour. Final half hour, Jack Ham to analyze Penn State and break down the Nittany Lions as we get ready for this one tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Airtime is set for 2:30. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Stop in there now. Stock up for the big weekend. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Mobile today. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.